for scientific research. And what's funny is Sunday mornings when I I'm up here and I go get my little stopwatch thing ready again, more times than not, that thing has been running for 7 days straight, just going and going and going. So it's neither here nor there, but I thought you might want to know that. God is good, ain't he? All the time. All right, yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, oh my gosh. You know, let me say this. Next Sunday, my dear friend, Brother Travis Hill, is going to be here. Man, if you guys can make it, please make it. I promise you'll be blessed. He's an awesome, mighty man of God. He has such a heart for children. And he wanted to come in November for adoption month. And there's this adoption day thing, adoption Sunday, where he'll go to two churches, one in the morning, one at night, and talk about adoption. That's his big thing. That's part of his big ministry push there. And I says to him, I was like, Trav, you know, we got that going on here, man. You know, but we would love for you to, you know, come and minister on whatever you want to. And you can talk about that if you want to. But please, you know, pick out a couple other churches, you know, on that special day and do that. So anyways, we kind of met in the middle and he's going to come next Sunday and bless us. So, man, if you can make it, come make it and be blessed. He has been such a blessing and an inspiration to me and my family. Everybody turn to John 13, John 13 and verse 34. We're talking about Christian love today. Did you know Christians are supposed to be the most loving people on the face of the earth? Is that news to you guys? Yeah, okay. I know the scriptures are clear on this. Those that have been forgiven much love much. Does that make sense to you guys this morning? So raise your hands. Let me see a show of hands if you've been forgiven this morning. Amen. We've been forgiven. And that, what a blessing. There's no bigger blessing than that. Amen. That our sins have been washed away. Amen. We're covered in the blood of the Most High God. We're covered in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Man, I might get excited this morning. How's everybody doing? Is everybody just exhausted this morning? A little bit tired. Hey, thanks for coming, though. Man, thank you so much. So many people are out today. A lot of people are sick. God is so good. Amen. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. Your will be done in this service, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that we are going to leave here refreshed and energized and excited. And we are just going to have a heart for your people. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So, I mean, think about it. We've been forgiven of so much. Amen. So we should obviously love much, right? And that's easier said than done sometimes because we're not always around the most lovable people in the world. Amen. But think about it like this. You know, sometimes we're not the most lovable people. Amen. But Jesus Christ has washed away all our sins. We have much to rejoice about. We have the biggest reason in the world to return that love, to show the world the love of Jesus through the way we treat others. Amen? Okay. So if you're at John 13, I want to read verse 34. This is this is at Last Supper. We're at the Last Supper right here. And we read this verse last week, and it really, really stuck with me last week when I was preparing for last week's sermon when we talked about, if you weren't here last week, you can listen to it on the World Wide Webs. Ain't that what they call it? The World Wide Webs or internets or whatever. It's out there, or you can, the sound guys can make you a copy. I'm not the best preacher in the world or anything like that, but it was a good message, a good timely message. We were talking about healing divisions, healing hurts. You know, God wants reconciliation in the church. And not that I know about any squabbles or fights or bickering among any of us, but I think it's good to focus on that and be preemptive and have that heart of love so we don't get in those types of situations, and also help others out if we know about someone in a situation like that, that we'll do everything in our part to encourage them to allow the Lord to heal those hurts, because the Lord wants reconciliation. Amen. The Lord wants us to heal these hurts, and Satan wants nothing but to drive wedges in the church. Amen? Satan wants to destroy your home. I mean, that's a given, right? He hates your guts. He does not want you to live a godly life. Amen? He does not want you to have a productive life. But see, Satan wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy you. And he does not want this church to be in one accord. He doesn't want that. Okay? If you go and read in Acts, when you see a church that is on the same page, and these guys were going through some hardcore persecution, you know, they were going through some hard times, man, but they were in one accord. They were on the same page. There was a spirit of unity in the early church, and the Lord was able to do some amazing things. Amen? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, man, that Satan wants to destroy this church. He would love it if we just locked these doors because, folks, when we get together in this church, we just can't get along. Amen? That would be a win for him. And like I said, I have no idea. I don't think anything like that's going on. But I know Satan wants to destroy every church. And if he can just keep us off the same page, if he can keep us not coming because we don't want to see brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, or we get a little spirit of bitterness dwelling up inside of us, guess what, man? That bitterness is going to spread like a fire in the heartland. Amen? Because we, you know, heartland, wheat, fire, I would imagine, would spread good. Or whatever. I don't know. You get up here and do it. Oh. God is good, right? Wildfire. Okay, so anyways, we're talking this morning about loving our brother and our sister. You know, because love can fix pretty much everything. Did you know that? Love can pretty much fix everything. Two people that are in disagreement are going through some sort of squabble or something going on. If they both love the Most High God and they love the Lord, you know what? They can work through that mess. They can fix that stuff because there's something more important than your comfort. Amen? Can I get a witness? Amen? And then, you know, sometimes we allow the Lord to heal these situations and you end up being a better friend than you've ever been before with those people. Amen? So that's what we're talking about, loving like the Lord loves us. Amen? So are you guys excited? Raise your hands if you're excited. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't make it easy on me, folks, whatever you do. Okay. So anyways... Oh, man, we're family, right? John 13 and verse 34. We are at the Last Supper right here. And Jesus gives this amazing new commandment. And it's like one of those things, you know, hey, guys, I'm not going to be here much longer in the flesh. I'm not going to be here long in the physical, okay? The Holy Spirit's coming, all that sort of stuff. But I want you guys to get a hold of this. I want you to love each other. Amen. That was his big thing, man. That was like one of the last things that he says to his disciples. I want you to love each other. A new commandment. Okay, so what is a commandment? Is that like if I feel like doing it type of thing? Not at all. This is something that we have been ordered to do, okay? I'm not talking about Old Testament. I'm not talking about New Testament. I'm talking about right now in this church, the Lord Jesus Christ commands his body, commands his church to love one another. Amen. So think about it. I mean, are we really doing that? Are we loving our brother and our sister? Think about that today. Amen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now that is super powerful. That is amazingly powerful. Amen. Not just filio type of love. We're not talking about that filio type of love. You know what I'm talking about? That's that brotherly love type of thing. You know what I mean? Where, hey, man, I like hanging out with Dwayne. He's my buddy. We like to do the same things together. That's good. And that's a start. But Jesus isn't talking about that because he knows he's going to be splitting pretty soon. And he's going to have 11 disciples hanging out with different egos, right? Different personalities. Everyone to hear him outside. It's nothing like that at all. I just want to have a best recording as possible. Everybody okay? Okay, so Jesus is leaving, and these disciples, man, there's a lot of potential for a lot of trouble, you know. They're in this situation. They just got done talking about who's the greatest, you know, who's the best disciple and all this sort of thing, who's Jesus's favorite. Okay, so anyways, this is what the Lord says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So that's not that filial love, not that brotherly type of love, not that you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Because that kind of love can fall apart. Somebody hurts your feelings, like, oh, I don't want to see Dwayne anymore. Me and Dwayne ain't doing good right now because he didn't meet me at Chuck E. Cheese, and we were supposed to meet at Chuck E. Cheese and let the kids play, and he didn't show up and whatever. I mean, things like that happen. I'm not talking about that kind of love. But more importantly, that's not the type of love Jesus is talking about. He's talking about that agape type of love, that sacrificial love, that love that is even willing to lay down your life for somebody else. Isn't that amazing? That's what the Lord says. I command you to love your brother and sister that way. Amen? Okay. Well, you know what? That's easier said than done, isn't it? It is. But you know, what does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's kind of Paul paraphrased. Okay. But see, when I become a new creation in Christ and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, guess what? His Holy Spirit does what? Comes and dwells inside me. So that Holy Spirit can give me the strength to do what the Lord wants me to do. Amen? Does that make sense this morning? And maybe we'll hit on that in a little bit, but I want you to know that we can have that kind of agape love, but it only comes by relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be able to have that kind of sacrificial love, willing to go the extra mile, deny yourself type of love for your brother and your sister, unless you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes sense this morning? Okay, God is good. Amen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, it's right there on the monitor. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to, you can turn to 1 John chapter 4. John was a very tender, loving disciple. He was known in the Bible as the disciple that the Lord loved. He loved all his disciples. John was just a sweet, sweet disciple. Yeah, if you want to know more about what I'm talking about, read John's letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and read the Gospel of John. Even read Revelation. He wrote all those books in the Bible, and he is just a tender, loving disciple. 1 John 4 and verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest, meaning we can see it. There it is. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. Okay, so what we're talking about here is, what does that agape love look like this morning? Because I already told you, and you already knew this, coming in here, that we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters. We know that. We've heard that since Sunday school. Okay, we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to love other Christians. And we know it's that agape type of love, that sacrificial love. Well, what does that look like? Let's read this verse again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. That's that agape type of love right there. That the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for me and you. Amen? That's the type of love we're supposed to have. Amen? Even if somebody is really hard to get along with, even if you don't have anything in common with that person in the church, well, guess what? You do have something in common with them. You're in the same building, right? And hopefully you both love Jesus. Okay? And the Lord Jesus says we are to love one another. So if he tells me to do something, guess what? I should do everything I can to make that happen. Amen? And the Lord doesn't just ask you to do something, but he equips us to do what he's called us to do. Amen? No matter how difficult it may look. Amen? Because this agape type of love, it is like an undeserving love. You know what I mean? We don't deserve his love. I mean, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Amen? On a cross, horrible way to die. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Because he loves us. Amen? And he loves us so much, he says, hey, now I want you to show the world that you guys love each other. I want you to show the world what my love looks like. Amen? Are y'all with me so far? Okay. And this is the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. So this is a picture of that agape love, that sacrifice and that salvation. Amen. What did you bring to the table? Do you complete God? We have nothing to offer. You see what I'm saying? We have nothing to offer. But God is love. God is love. Think about that. Let that sink in. I'm not that bright. I'm not that smart. But I was staring at that verse and reading that part where it says, God is love. And that it's just hard for me to wrap my intellect around that. About the best way I can explain it is the definition of love is God. Isn't that wonderful? Think about it. That he is so good. Every good thing you have is a picture of his love. Every trial, every correction, everything he allows you to go through, that is a picture of his love for you. Amen. So if God is love, when I want to love my mate with that agape type of love, or my child with that agape kind of love, or my brother and sister in this church, or the dude down at the gas station with that God type of love, well, then I look to God and I follow his example. And what kind of love is that? And remember, we've been commanded to do it. It is a sacrificial love. Going the extra mile, even when people do not deserve it. Amen? Because guess what? We do not deserve what has been done for us. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Is God good today? In this, the love of God was made manifest. So this is a picture of God's love. It's right there for all of us to see. When we read the Bible, we see over and over again how good our God is and how he loves us with a sacrificial love. Amen. It's not like you have to have a degree in theology to see it, man. God shows us over and over and over again how much he loves us and how we are to love others. Amen. And this love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. Next verse. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a perpetuation for our sins. That's that unconditional love right there. You know what I mean? While we were yet sinners, before we knew that we needed, before we ever gave the Lord the time of day, amen, he was loving you and he had plans for you. Okay, this is a picture of the Lord's type of love. Amen. It's that sacrificial love, that unconditional love, that undeserving love. Okay, and we want that. Raise your hand this morning if you want that type of love given to you. Amen. When you do somebody wrong, raise your hand if you've ever done somebody wrong. You know you've done them wrong. Okay. About half the church is telling the truth this morning. Okay, good, good. We've all done it. We've all done people wrong, whether we meant to at the time or not. We know looking back, hey, that was a bad move. Hey, that was a selfish thing to do right there. That was all about me. That was very hurtful. Amen. And don't we want people's forgiveness? Don't we want people's forgiveness when we've crossed the line, when we've hurt them? Amen. We want every bit of the Lord's forgiveness. You know what I mean? We want it all. Amen. So we take what's been done for us. And we never lose sight of what's been done for us and let that be a propulsion or propellant, amen, to live that sacrificial type of love on other folks. Does that make sense this morning? Hey, you deal with some folks that have hurt your feelings, stepped on your toe. Just, man, sometimes you know cats that they just ain't that likable. You know what I mean? Does that make sense this morning? But you know what? God says, I still want you to love them. And I want you to actively pursue kindness. Just like Jesus did, that sacrificial love, that unconditional love. We don't deserve it, amen? But we sure want it, don't we? Okay, so we need to do that in other people's lives, amen? It's not, do I want to, amen? Have y'all got that by now? It's not if I want to. It's not if these people are cool. It's not if these people are in my family. It's because God says do it, amen? Verse 11, you got that one? Beloved. See, that's what I'm talking about, how sweet and tender the disciple John is. Beloved. So he's talking to Christian folks this morning. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There it is. God ordered us to have that agape type of love, that sacrificial love for one another. And so much has been done for us. There's no denying it. Okay, I'm not saying everything in your life is just how you have to have it. I'm not saying you have the perfect life, but I'm just saying that you serve a good God, a risen Savior. We have much to rejoice about. Amen. And we are saved people. Amen. So in view of that, we have no excuse to deny anybody that same agape type of love. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad to have my buddy John here today. Anybody, not too embarrassed? Okay, too embarrassed, John. Anybody miss John? He ain't been here a while. That's my homie, my buddy. Okay. I've officially made him uncomfortable. John 13 and verse 34. Let's look at this verse again. The new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this is a defining trait of Christ followers. Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? Then when an outsider comes and visits the church, whether they're Christian or an unbeliever, an atheist, or however, you know, somebody begs them to come to church, whatever. When they walk in these doors, whether they agree with the message or not, when they're in here, they should feel love like never before. And they should be able to see. I don't care what denomination, what background you are. Okay, I don't care if you're churched or not churched. People should feel the love of Jesus when they walk in here. Amen? And they should be able to go home and say, those people in that building really love each other. You know what I mean? It sounds like I'm getting on to you guys. I am totally not getting on to anybody. Amen? But this is a defining trait. This is what Jesus says. Hey, people should know that you're my followers by the fact that you love one another. And, you know, and it's not that brotherly type of love. It's not filio. That's where we get the word Philadelphia. I mean, you know, the city of brotherly love. It's not that type of love. It's a sacrificial love. Because I'm willing to bet that a lot of the love that we practice, because I do it, you know what I mean? A lot of love that we practice is that brotherly type of love. You know what I mean? When it's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be sold out individuals to our brothers and sisters. Can I get a witness? Even if they hurt your feelings, man. Even if you feel like they let you down. Amen? Okay. A new commandment. Okay, I've read that about 18 times. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Okay. So this is a command. Not a command given by your grandma. Okay, you need to listen to your grandma. Can I get a witness? No one wants to upset grandma around here. It's not a command given to you by your daddy. You need to listen to your daddy or even your mate. This is a command given by the Son of God. And he says, don't forget this. There was an urgency when he said this. He knew he wasn't going to be around much longer. A year to the day after my father passed away, yes, it's the time of the service when I talk about my beloved father. A year to the day after my father passed away, I just remembered this like a week ago, just popped into my head. We had a little thing at the cemetery out in the Fidelis community where the immediate family gathered around, and we just kind of met up there and said a few words. It's kind of like a little meeting. And it was a special time. He had been passed away for a year to the day. And it was a very needful thing in my life. It brought a lot of healing and a lot of closure that we were able to do this. But one of the things that really stick out in my mind was my mother spoke up. And, you know, it was all my brothers and my sister and our kids. And she said this, and I didn't really know where she was coming from with it. But it was obviously a burden on her heart. You know, and she said, guys, this is tough right here. Whatever happens, and this is paraphrased, in the future, she was saying when she goes to be with the Lord, don't ever let anything come between you guys. This is what she's saying to me and my siblings. Don't ever let anything come between you guys. Always love your brothers and your sisters. Don't let Satan drive a wedge in. Satan wants to destroy families, and Sister Claudia knows that. You know what I'm saying? And when she said that, I was like, wow, man, that's weird. But see, it was an important thing for her to say. And it was the right time to say it. And it has really blown me away when it entered my mind again. I was like, wow. Because this is like what Jesus is saying. You know, hey, guys, I love you guys. I love you so much. And I want you to love each other the same way that I love you. I want you to show the world how much I love you. Why? Because God has something very important for these disciples to do. Amen. So they can't afford to get in any divisions or anything like that. Same thing with your family. Your family is precious to the Lord. Amen. This church family is precious to the Lord. Satan will put any kind of fork in the light socket, anything he can do to mess up your family. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? We need to realize that, man. God's got something for this church to do. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is. God wants to use this church. And we are entering in, we are in some serious times right now. We're in some serious, serious times. And it's time to love your brother and sister. Amen. And be willing to go the extra mile for them. Amen. Can I get a witness? Okay. God is good. So, Paul, wouldn't it be cool if it was just our brothers and sisters in Christ we were supposed to have that agape type of love for? I mean, that's tough, you know what I mean? But hey, we're all Christians, you know, so we have that, and we can build off of that. But you know what? If there's a lot of verses, there's a lot of verses in the New Testament about love. Okay? And the majority of them is that agape type of love. Okay? That sacrificial love. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Amen? Matter of fact, check this one out. Luke 10 and verse 27, and he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." That's a mouthful. That's saying you're supposed to love the Lord with everything that you are. Right? You guys already knew that. But check this part out. This is what I want to focus on. So we love God. He's number one, right? But check this out. And your neighbor as yourself. Same type of love. Agape love. Sacrificial love. Laying down my life. Unconditional. Giving of myself. Without expecting anything at all in return. Agape type of love. For my neighbor. Okay, That's bad news because I can't stand my neighbor. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about the dude that lives across the street from me or beside you. I mean, they're in it. But this neighbor is everybody in like your little world, your sphere. You know what I mean? Those folks that you know, okay? Supposed to love them. And then it goes on, it's everybody. Now check this out. Matthew 5 and verse 44. But I say to you, this is a tough one right here. Oh, this is a tough one. This one right here, go ahead and take a pen and just scratch it out of your Bible if you've turned there. Now we're cooking with natural gas. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, man, that's tough, isn't it? Not just your brothers and sisters in Christ, not just your family, not just those around you, but the people that you feel are out to get you, those people that have really, really hurt you. God says, I want you to love those people too. And like I said, this is impossible. This type of love is impossible without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside you. What are you talking about, man? No, I'm talking about you think you're going to lay down your life for somebody who has done nothing but tried to make your life miserable if you don't have Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, dwelling inside you? Right? Can I get a witness? Right, but I can do all things through Christ, amen? He gives me the strength to do what he wants me to do. Got to love our enemies as well, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Ron. Praise was awesome. Go to the next slide. People fighting, disagreements, that ain't no good. It'll destroy a church really, really faster than a hurricane hitting the coast of Florida. It'll just pop up, mess all kinds of stuff up. And it takes a long time to fix, too. So the Lord doesn't want us getting involved in that sort of thing. Same thing in your home, in your place of business. When people see us in the line at Taco Bell, people see us, they should be able to say, oh, that guy's a Christian, whether they're Christians or not. Because the Lord's love, that sacrificial love, is just flowing out of us. Amen? When I get in the elevator, man, can you do this? Do you ever do this? Can you kind of like tell when someone's a Christian or not? Sometimes you really, really can. They got that sweet spirit, man. You know what I'm talking about? There's just that bond there. They will know we are Christians by our love. Amen? Okay, so anyways, in Philippians 4 right here, this is just a little tiny little church problem between these two ladies that obviously has gotten so far out of hand that the Apostle Paul has to address it in his letter to the Philippian church. Okay, so it probably started off small, and then it just grew into where the bishop, the big-time preacher, has to say in his letter, hey, let me talk about this for a second, okay? Why? Because this stuff is deadly. Amen? I entreat is like earnestly. So the Apostle Paul is, I earnestly ask you, I'm pleading with you here. Because this stuff is bad news, okay? I don't want this in this church, okay? I don't want people taking sides. I don't want you meeting people in the parking lot saying how sister so-and-so is bad news, or how brother whatchamacallit, he's got to go. Well, we need to be in a spirit of unity, all on the same page, so the Lord can do what he wants to do. Amen? Can I get a witness? I entreat you, dear. And I entreat Syntyche to agree. Who's looking for a name for their little girl? Syntyche to agree in the Lord. I'm pleading with you guys, you two ladies. Okay. I'm pleading with you two ladies, man, to agree. Whatever it is. This isn't some theological false teaching that they're spewing. This isn't someone's false doctrine that's going on in the church, because Apostle Paul, he would have hit that. And he was like, hey, no. That's not right. This is what Jesus says. This is what you do. Amen. This is just some sort of disagreement. You know, someone got their pride hurt. Something happened to somebody, and it's just gotten out of hand. Okay, so he's taking care of it. Amen. I entreat you, Dia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Okay, to agree in the Lord. That's what we got to do. Okay, what's the big picture here? The fact that Judea took your parking place, sent it to you know what I mean? What's the big deal? Or is Jesus the big deal? Amen. Who's more important here? Okay, I want you to focus on what's the most important. Okay, because as far as I know, okay, Jesus shows me that agape type of love. Jesus laid down his life for me. Jesus saved my soul. Amen. And he wants me to love that same way. So whatever the deal is, ladies, I want you to just deal with it. Just get rid of it. Amen. It ain't that big of a deal. Amen. Are y'all with me? Yes, I ask you also, true companion. Now, this fits into what we were talking about last week. Remember, we talked about last week, if you're cool with two people, but these other two people are fighting against each other, you know, and they don't get along anymore, that you do everything in your power to try and help them to heal that bond, to heal that hurt. Amen? You with me? You remember that? Okay. Same thing right here. Paul's like, if these ladies can't agree, if they can't get on the same page, then you guys in the church, do whatever it takes, man. Try and work it out to where, and you, it's not 100% success, right? Amen. The two parties want to have healing. Amen. But we're supposed to do everything we can in our power to bring that healing in a situation. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay. Help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel. See that? These are good Christian ladies. These aren't some, I don't know, drug dealing, machine gun toting, crack smoking, fill in the blanking. these are people that love Jesus that have been a blessing and been used in the ministry right here. But see, it can happen in our church by this time next Sunday, where somebody just gets mad at somebody and then it just causes a big old commotion. Amen. So What do we have to do when someone hurts my pride? Well, pride comes before a fall anyway. But what do, man? We gotta love each other with that agape type of love. Agree in the Lord. What's the big thing here? Is it the fact that my feelings got hurt, or the fact that Jesus loves this lady? Amen. Just like he loves me. Amen? Okay. Help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Okay. These ladies' names is in the book of life. Are you glad your name's in the book of life? Amen. So that seals the deal right here. These are good Christian ladies. These aren't just two ladies that walked in off the street and they happened to be fighting when they walked in the door. And like, you know what I mean? And then they go through the back door fighting, and every few days they just bust through a window and fight. These are Christian folks, ma'am. It can happen to any church, anywhere. Amen? The Apostle Paul says we got to deal with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, look at 1 Peter 4a. It's on your monitor if you don't want to turn. Above all, I think that means pretty important. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. That's powerful right there, ma'am. That is so stinking powerful right there. That my love covers a multitude of sins. I love you so much because Jesus first loved me, that whatever you've done, I do not hold it against you any longer. Amen? Let's go to the next slide. That love covers a multitude of sins. That's the type of love that grants forgiveness. Amen? That's that kind of love that doesn't want anything in return. First John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay, so if I'm a Christian, if I'm a Christ follower, I should love my neighbor. And the ability for me to love my neighbor, my brother, my sister, my enemy, amen, whoever, that ability comes from being in the family of the Lord. Amen? You're not going to have it on your own. Amen? And you're never going to see it in the world. Amen? You're not going to see that kind of sacrificial love. Amen? But because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives me the strength to do what he needs me to do. Amen? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now look at this last verse right here, 1 John 4:19. Let this be an incentive right here, because the Lord will give me the strength. And increasingly so, you're not going to do it perfectly, but increasingly so, we should be able to turn the other cheek. Amen? We should be able to give that love to a lost and dying world, to our brothers and sisters. Amen? But look at this, 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. That's a humongous incentive right there. Amen? As flawed as we are, unperfect as we are, amen, he loved us before we ever gave him the first thought. Before we ever existed, he had a plan for us. Amen. He formed us and knitted us together in our mother's womb. He died for me. He saved my soul. Who are we to not offer forgiveness? Who are we to not love our neighbor? Amen. God is good, right? Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you, Lord God.